Folks, welcome to the latest episode of the Basketball Podcast. Before this episode begins, I want to provide a disclaimer on something that happened recently with the Basketball Podcast. I actually published an episode this past week. It's my first episode since the summer. We're back. We're publishing. Weekly content is coming with the Basketball Podcast now. We're officially back. In this episode, I gave my top 10 reactions to the beginning of the NBA season. We talked about Dion Waiters. And we also answered some questions from the mailbag. And after I posted this episode, later that day, I was checking my email, and my inbox for thebasketballpc@gmail.com was flooded with hundreds of emails from people listening, saying very derogatory, very rude things to me and to our basketball podcast staff, which is just me. And at the time I was on my mobile device answering these emails, I wasn't in my studio. And by studio, I mean my kitchen table at my computer. I wasn't at my kitchen table answering emails. I was reviewing this on my phone and reading through these hundreds of emails telling me how dumb I was and how terrible I am and just the derogatory language. The things said about my mother through this Gmail was just disturbing. And Mom, if you're listening, I'm not going to share any of it. We can talk about it at Thanksgiving. And so in my haste and in my confusion and concern, I'm thinking I said something incredibly offensive or rude or wrong. And I pride myself on being acceptable for all people. This is an international podcast. I was concerned I said something about Hong Kong, you know, Daryl Morey version 2, who knows. So I deleted the podcast, thinking I messed up. I deleted it based on all of the reactions in my inbox. I deleted it. I didn't even want to get on Twitter and see what people were talking about on Twitter. Once I got home and got to my studio, aka my kitchen table, I went back and read the emails and actually realized what it was that these listeners were referring to. In the mailbag section of my most recent episode, I voted Devontae Graham for Rookie of the Year. Devontae Graham is my Rookie of the Year vote. And you know what, folks? I'm sticking to that vote. Now, those of you that follow the NBA closely are well aware that Devontae Graham played last year for the Charlotte Hornets in 2018-2019. He played in 41 games. He is, by definition, not a rookie. By definition, not a rookie. I just want to clarify the reason why I voted Devontae Graham as Rookie of the Year is because, well, I just figured that if Blake Griffin could win Rookie of the Year in his second year in the league, and Ben Simmons could do so as well, why can't Devontae Graham? That's it. The podcast you're about to listen to is the deleted lost episode of the Basketball Podcast. Enjoy.
I'm back, baby. Here we go.
Apparently you can remix anything into trap music. Okay. Now that thank you, Rocky, for the intro. Welcome to the Basketball Podcast. Folks, we are back. It's great to be back. It's been a few months since our last episode. I've gotten some emails from some loyal listeners saying, when is the season preview going to come out? When is the opening night podcast going to be released? The lost episodes of the Basketball Podcast. When are we going to hear them? You're not going to, because I didn't record them. Listen, if you want a preseason preview, go listen to William Simmons. Go listen to those other podcasts. Watch SportsCenter. Watch the Get Up Show. This has basically become a commercial for all these other programs. Here at the Basketball Podcast, we don't work against the NBA's timeline. Okay? I don't care if we're like 18% of the way already through the season. I don't care about that. I wait until there's something actually worth talking about. There's no reason to talk about the beginning of the NBA season before the season even actually happens. At the beginning of the season, everyone said the Warriors are going to be great. The Warriors are going to be back. I even said that. And look at them. They stink! So that's what I wanted to say, I guess. We have a great episode today. We're going to be talking about my top 10 impressions, takeaways from the beginning of the season. We're also going to get into, here's the real reason why this podcast is coming out. Here's what happened, is Dion Waiters decided to go AWOL and lose his mind. So I have to talk about it. I'm obligated as an officer of the basketball court. Get it? Obligated as an officer of the basketball court to talk about this. So we're going to, our main segment today is talking about Dion Waiters. And then here's the great part, is that because it's been like 2 months, we have a very full mailbag to choose from. So we've got the mailbag segment at the end of this podcast. I've got some great questions in there that I pulled from the top. So stay tuned. Thanks for listening. If you haven't yet subscribed, if you're new to this podcast, be sure to subscribe. We will have regular podcasts that come out through the season. We don't do daily podcasts. We don't even do weekly podcasts. But we do have regular programming throughout the season. Make sure that you subscribe on your favorite listening platform. Support the channel if you want to. I guess you don't have to. I don't do this for you. It's not for you. It's for me. It's just so I can talk. It's for me. So please listen and support it. And here's a word from our sponsor. This wasn't recorded by me at all. So here we go. The top 10 takeaways that I have from the season so far. And we won't spend too much time on these. We're not going to talk about the Lakers and the top of the standings and blah, blah, blah. Like, we don't need to talk about the Lakers. No one wants to talk about the Lakers. We'll quickly touch on, though, the Warriors, who are at the bottom of the Western Conference at 2-8. Steph Curry broke his hand. Draymond Green injured something. D'Angelo Russell has been injured some throughout the season. This is an awful basketball team. Terrible. I don't know if you've watched any of the Warriors games. I watched the Wednesday game, or maybe it was Friday, against the Rockets a week ago. Awful. Awful to watch. The Rockets were equally terrible in that game for the first half. James Harden came alive in the second quarter, and that was basically it. Like, just an awful basketball game. Two awful teams. The two things that I thought of when it comes to the Warriors, their window has closed, clearly. Even when Steph comes back, even when Klay Thompson comes back, their window has closed because there's no one else on this team besides them. And it's not like it's a big four of Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and D'Angelo Russell. Like, those are four all-stars, but they all play very similar positions. Aside from Draymond, he plays small forward, power forward, center sometimes. Their window has closed. But also, this program has to dramatically shift their mindset, their philosophy, but also like their personnel, their coaching staff, their approach to basketball. How do they develop talent? How do they draft well? How do they retain talent? They've not done that at all. They should have genuinely. This is a program that is, we're 8 years removed, not quite, from when LeBron left Cleveland. Not even 8 years. It's been like 5 years. Since he left Miami. So he originally played for Cleveland, went to the Heat in 2010, played there for 4 years, went to the Cavs, played there for 4 years. Now he's with the Lakers in his second year. When he left the Heat, they were not great. They still had Chris Bosh. They still had Dwayne Wade. Those guys couldn't carry them back to the finals. The Warriors, similar setting, lost top two, top one player in the league. Then they lost Klay Thompson, top 10, top 15 player when he's healthy, top 20 player when he's healthy. Let's not give him too much credit. Top 20 player when he's healthy. So now they're stuck with an aging Steph Curry and an aging Draymond Green and whatever else was crafted together in the last offseason. Like, how did the Warriors not look back at the Heat and say, maybe we don't want to repeat what happened there? How do they set themselves up to draft well, have the right assets? I know they have to sacrifice some of that in order to build a contender right away. But also, they should have seen some of the writing on the wall with KD throughout the season. they should have been a little better prepared for this exit that was taking place. They knew he was a free agent. They also had to have known that they didn't have a great shot at retaining him, especially with some of the stuff he was saying. Just, I have a lot of thoughts about the Warriors. Let me wrap it up by saying this. They stink. They will continue to stink. They will not be good again for the foreseeable future. The next topic. We were just talking about them. The Miami Heat. The Miami Heat are 6-3 as of today. 6-3. And they look solid. Here's what I love about the Heat. And there's a couple of teams I'm going to talk about in this segment that I really appreciate what they're doing. The Heat have built a team. They've actually built a team, and they've built it well. They also happen to have acquired a former All-Star in Jimmy Butler. They had a really good player on their team already in Dragic, but he's old. He's coming off the bench now. He's still a really good player, and he's playing well this year. They finally got their guy. After years of trying to get Carmelo Anthony and LaMarcus Aldridge and whoever else was out there, they finally got their guy. Russell Westbrook. They were maybe going to trade for Russell Westbrook in the offseason. They finally got their guy in Jimmy Butler, and he's a quality basketball player. He's a lunatic. He's crazy. He harasses and bullies Tyler Hero, which I think is uncalled for because Hero's actually doing really well this year. But they've got their guy, and they've got a roster built around him. They drafted well this year. They've drafted well the last couple of years. Justice Winslow is okay. Bam Adebayo is okay. They haven't taken any significant risks with their draft picks. They've been picking quality guys that can kind of help them build and have depth and fill out a roster waiting for that guy to come. And they got him in Jimmy Butler. I like what they've done in the last few years. They also have a top three coach in the league. Like, let's not forget that. Eric Spoelstra is a top three coach in the league. He's underrated with what he's been doing. I know we love to talk about Doc Rivers and Steve Kerr and Greg Popovich is the trendy answer. But Eric Spoelstra has continued to right the ship with the Heat. They've been in and out of the playoffs with a pretty awful roster for the last few years. And it's finally come together over the last 2 years as they've put it together. Finally come together this season. They look quality. They look like they can make a run in the East. So kudos to you, Miami Heat. I think they're doing well. That's not to say that all their personnel decisions have been good. We'll talk about that in the next segment. Number three. Philly. I get that Philly's supposed to be a good team this year, but they are one injury away from mediocrity. And it's showing in the standings right now. Joel Embiid missed two games due to suspension, and now they're 6-3. Not good. Not great. It's not great. They're supposed to be better. They're one injury away. All Joel Embiid has to do is break a foot. I'm not wishing that he does. I'm just saying all he has to do is break one. Ben Simmons breaks a foot. Al Horford's 34 years old. The dude's going to be injured every now and then. Tobias Harris isn't a... He's the fourth best player on their team. He's not going to be able to carry them into the playoffs and past. No way. They have to have Joel Embiid healthy. And, oh, by the way, he has a history of injuries. History of injuries. Even last year he was injured. They're an injury away from being mediocre. And it's going to happen. If you are giving quality minutes to Mike Scott and James Ennis, that's a bad sign. Number four, two teams that I've enjoyed watching so far this year, and I haven't watched every NBA game by any means, but I've watched a few of them, and I've watched these two teams play. I've enjoyed watching the Hornets, and I've enjoyed watching the Mavs. Genuinely, both of those teams I've enjoyed watching. The Hornets, the reason I enjoy watching them is that they've got a couple of guys on their team that I really like, but also Kimba just broke their hearts. And they're still doing okay. They're 4-6. It's not great. But for them, that's not bad. Also, I've been to Charlotte. I've been to a couple of Charlotte games. And I really enjoy that stadium. The Spectrum Center, I think, is what it's called now. It used to be the Time Warner Cable Arena. I don't know what it's called. But either way, I've enjoyed the games there. The court's cool. I like the jerseys. Michael Jordan's the owner. I enjoy watching them this year. The Mavs, though, I mean, Rick Carlisle is a great coach. Another coach who's somewhat underrated for what he's been able to do and continue to do with that team. They've got a excellent point guard in Luka Doncic, and they've got Porzingis back, who is starting to get his footing. He's looking a little better, but I really enjoy that program as well. The roster that they're constructing. They've got some solid... They have depth. They have solid players. Solid players. They don't have great players, but they're not like the 76ers where they're really stacked at the top and then they're awful. Mike Scott is getting quality minutes. What is happening? It's 2019 and Mike Scott is still playing. Hornets and Mavs. Both fun to watch. Just thought I'd throw that in there. Number five, the Suns. The Suns are 6-3. The Phoenix Suns are 6-3. I don't know what to say about that. Number six, the Celtics. The Celtics are at the top of the East, and they continue to win, and they've won some good games. They lost to the 76ers on opening night, and they've won seven straight. Seven straight. And they beat the Bucks in dramatic fashion. I watched that Celtics-Bucks game earlier in the season, and they were getting destroyed at home, and they come back. It was incredible. Incredible comeback. Jason Tatum has been playing very well. He's shooting 44% from three. And the team overall is shooting like 36%. That's a pretty good improvement for them. We'll see if they can keep that up. Number seven, the Raptors are still a good team. We thought that they wouldn't be great. They're still a good team. Oh, and by the way, Pascal Siakam is a gem. He is a gem. He's getting 27, 9 boards, 4 assists, and a steal. But he's shooting 50% from the field and 37% from three. Who is this guy? And how did he fly under everyone's radar? Excellent. The Raptors have done a good job of developing some of these young guys that they've had. Some of them were already developed coming in, but they've got Fred VanVleet playing quality minutes for them and Pascal Siakam. Now, you can also look at it and say, well, they also have Norman Powell still on the roster. Yes, he's not great. But here's a couple of really good examples of them doing a good job with draft picks and retaining and developing them. Good for them. I'm not a Raptors fan. They're number two in the East right now. We'll see what happens. Number eight. We have to talk about the Indiana Pacers. This is a basketball podcast. We have to talk about the Pacers. They started off horrendously to begin the season. They won like lost like their first three or four games. Awful. I think they lost their first three. Then they won a few. They lost a tough one against Charlotte where Devontae Graham got an absolute BS call at the end of overtime and got to shoot three free throws. Just look it up. It's horrendous that the referees absolutely robbed the Indiana Pacers. If I have any Hornets fans listening out there, you guys should have lost that game. It's ridiculous. Regardless, the Pacers are looking really good, but more importantly, what I'm excited about as a Pacers fan is Malcolm Brogdon. We signed Malcolm Brogdon in the offseason, and I was a little concerned about it, honestly, because, yeah, he puts up good numbers, but I haven't really watched him play too much, and he hurt his foot last year, and he's kind of an older guy for how many years he's been in the league. He's only been in the league like 3 or 4 years, but he's 25, 26, 27. He's old. We gave him 4 years. Is this going to pan out? It has. He's getting 21, 5, and 9. He was top 3, top 5 in assists per game, and then he had a couple of games where he only got like 8 or 9 assists. He's playing very well. He plays good defense. He has not been shooting the ball well from 3, but it's because he has the ball in his hands, and sometimes they work the clock down too far, and he has to hoist it up. That's happened a couple of times that I've seen. But as I'm watching him, he has this incredible ability to drive the basketball and score layups. Watch some of his highlights from the beginning of the season. And he gets the ball at the top of the key and he tries to cross people. He's not going to break a single ankle. The only ankle he will break is his own because he's like herky jerky. Cannot cross someone. They're in front of him the whole time. And then somehow he's still able to just blow by them and score a layup. He makes me think of I don't know if this is accurate or not, but he really makes me think of Steve Nash. Not with his passing or court vision, not with his passing ability or court vision, but like if he gets the ball in isolation, he can drive it up and scoop and score. Maybe like Jason Kidd is a better example. Jason Kidd's probably a better example. Either way, he's got this incredible ability to drive past guys and score the ball when it really looks from the TV, it looks like he's doing the dumbest possible thing. He's going to get a shot blocked. And he just squeezes it in there every time. It's awesome. Watch those highlights. I'm incredibly impressed by that. I'm watching him and I'm like, I could have crossed that guy. And he blows right by him and makes a layup. It's awesome. Two more takeaways from the beginning of the season. Markel Fultz is in the NBA and he's playing quality minutes. Markelle Fultz, I repeat, Markelle Fultz is in the NBA and he's playing quality minutes. He's not getting great numbers. He's averaging 10 points, 2 boards, 3 assists, 18% from the 3-point line. 18. 1-8. That's awful. But he's getting quality minutes. Good for him. Welcome back, Markelle Fultz. I watched the Pacers Magic game last night. There were a couple of plays where Markelle Fultz had this incredible drive, and either he dunked it or he dished it to someone, and they were just incredibly athletic, beautiful plays. It was a glimmer of what could have been for him, but I don't think it could have been that for him, because they already have Ben Simmons. They weren't going to let him do that in Philadelphia. I'm so glad that he's with the Magic. I'm so glad he's with the Magic, because he's going to get minutes, and he's eventually going to be their starting point guard, and he's going to be good. I don't know if he's going to be a good shooter. He's going to be a good basketball player, though. Finally, the best takeaway of all, the New York Knicks still suck. All right, that's it for my takeaways. Let's jump into this Dion Waiters conversation. So let's talk about Dion Waiters. For those of you that don't know, let me catch you up on the timeline. Before the beginning of the season, Dion Waiters was suspended 2 games for conduct detrimental to the team, and it was found to be negative comments posted to his social media. He has not played in a game yet. I don't think he's even dressed for a game. He's been to 2 games with them so far. Recently, in a flight back from an away game, flying to Miami, Dion Waiters was on the plane, had a sour stomach, what has been described as a sour stomach. Now, most of us who were born in the 80s, 90s, even the early 2000s, we would typically seek some sort of relief through maybe Pepto-Bismol, which had a fun jingle that went nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea. Yay, Pepto-Bismol. See, that's how I'm wired, is typically when I have a sour stomach, I diagnose my symptoms. Well, is this nausea, heartburn, indigestion? Is it upset stomach? Is it diarrhea? Is it all 5 of those things? Well, if it is, take a Pepto-Bismol. Take a Tums, even, if you want to be courageous. If you really need something, take a Prilosec OTC. If you're really screwy down there, take a Prilosec OTC. Regardless, Dion Waiters decided that his best course of action was to take an edible. Now, for our older generation that might not be overly familiar with the slang of the new generation, an edible is typically a politically correct way of saying drug-laced foods. Edible. Drug-laced foods. So what the team communicated is that Dion Waiters had a sour stomach and decided to seek the advice, consultation of a teammate who provided him with some relief through an edible. After consuming the edible, Dion was described to have had what was described as a panic attack. Again, for our older generation, maybe our more politically correct generation, a panic attack is probably a stretch of what really happened. What the Miami Heat really mean to say there, what they said is that he had a sour stomach, ate an edible, and then had what was described as a panic attack. What they're really saying there, for those of you, again, older generation, might not be up with the lingo. What they're really saying there is that Dion Waiters was sick, went to Jimmy Butler, and Jimmy Butler gave him a drug. Dion ate the drug and then flipped his butt. That's right. Dion Waiters ate drugs and then flipped his butt. Well, because of the flipping of his butt, he has been suspended 10 games. Without pay, missing out on a $1.2 million bonus this season because he had to play 70 games, 70 out of the 82 games. He's not going to play 70 games because he's going to miss that many games already. Here's my takeaway from this. Number one, Dion sought the consultation of a teammate, and his teammate gave him an edible. Why did Dion decide that's the best approach? If you have a sore stomach, let me just clearly communicate this one. If you hear nothing else from this podcast, let me just really help you understand that when you have a sore stomach or a sour stomach, the best possible recommendation I can give you is to not eat drugs. If your stomach is upset, don't eat drugs. Just take a Pepto-Bismol. First question, why did Dion eat the edible? Like, oh. Second of all, why did Jimmy Butler give him the edible? We all know it was Jimmy Butler. Jimmy doesn't like Dion. Why did Jimmy Butler give him the edible? But truly, like, what was communicated is that he took an edible from a teammate. It was laced with THC, right? So that's why he got sick. Because THC is in marijuana. He ate marijuana, basically. Why did a teammate give that to him? There's a rumor going around that Pat Riley gave it to Jimmy Butler and told Jimmy Butler to give it to Dion. I don't know how much truth there is to that, but it's 100% true. Pat Riley, you heard it here first. Pat Riley gave Jimmy Butler drugs and forced Dion to eat said drugs. That, my friends, is top-notch general management of an NBA program. All right, folks, it is time for my favorite segment on this show, the NBA Mailbag. This is a segment where I answer questions that you submit to me through our email, which is thebasketballpc@gmail.com. That's thebasketballpc@gmail.com. We also will answer questions that you send to us on Twitter. So find us on Twitter. Make sure you're following us. Catch up on all the episodes that we've posted there. We'll answer questions that you submit there as well. Three questions in the mailbag that we're going to answer. The first one, who is my pick for Rookie of the Year so far, 10 games into the season? We're an eighth of the way through the season. There's already some rookies that are making an impact or just playing well, considering that they're rookies. I did read an article a couple days ago from NBA.com. It's the Rookie Ladder, where a writer from NBA.com essentially ranks rookies, calls it the ladder, because sometimes rookies move up the ladder, sometimes rookies move down the ladder. And he currently has, the writer, I don't remember his name, currently has Ja Morant listed as Rookie of the Year. And I have to be honest, that's a great choice. Ja is playing very well. He's putting up very good numbers. 19 points a game, 3.5 boards a game, 5.5 assists a game with a steal. Shooting 49% from the field. Even crazier, he's shooting 46% from three. It's like 46.5%. I don't like giving half percentages when it comes down to averages, so you know what? From here on out, I'm not going to do that, the rest of these numbers. 19, 3, 5, the steal, 49% from the field, 46% from 3. Those are awesome numbers. He would be an all-star in the Eastern Conference. With those numbers, he would be an all-star in the Eastern Conference. Kyle Lowry made it a couple years ago on numbers that weren't quite as good as that. Or similar to that. Those are great numbers. Here's the issue with Ja being Rookie of the Year. The Grizzlies are 2-8 so far, and they're destined to not have a great record. There will be other rookies on other teams that are ranked better and have a better record, and those players can make still a pretty good impact. I think Kendrick Nunn, he's another flashy pick, but honestly, he hasn't played as well in the last couple of games. His first three games, he scored the most points ever in the first three games started by a rookie, something crazy, some statistic like that, like blew that number out of the park. He had close to a 30-point game his first or second game. I mean, he was scoring at an incredibly high rate. He's come back down to earth the last couple of games and hasn't shot the ball well, but overall through 10 games, they've played 9 games so far, he's averaging 16 points, 2 boards, 2 assists, and a steal. And his percentages are decent. Kendrick Nunn is another good choice so far. Tyler Hero, another rookie on the Heat, also making an impact. 13 points, 5 boards, 2 assists, and a steal each game. Also shooting 37% from 3. He's got good numbers, making a good impact on a quality team so far. Another quality pick you could say is RJ Barrett. Again, the issue there is that the Knicks are terrible. They're 2-8. He's got 15 boards, 15 points, 6 boards, 3 assists per game. He doesn't have great percentages though right now. I think RJ Barrett, here's the issue. RJ Barrett could be a good player if he was in a better environment. If he was on the Heat, he could be putting up the same numbers, in my opinion, and that team would be winning. He's putting up decent numbers, but he's on a garbage team. So I just can't vote for someone to be Rookie of the Year if they're on one of the worst teams in the league. I don't care if they're getting good numbers. Their usage is going to be way higher. I can't vote for RJ. I saw on this Rookie Ladder article, the reason I brought that up is there were a couple of picks where I thought they were ludicrous. They had PJ Washington in like the top 3 or the top 5. I was like, PJ Washington? He's okay, I guess. He's done okay. He's a good rookie. I like him as a player. I'll put it that way. I like him as a player, but he's not in the conversation for Rookie of the Year, is he? Is he really? The craziest part of that whole article is the writer didn't even mention the best rookie on the Hornets. And in my opinion, the best rookie in the NBA right now, Devontae Graham. 18 points, 4 boards, 8 assists. 40% from the field, which isn't great, but he is shooting 42% from 3. He is a very good basketball player. And he's the type of player that stayed in college a little bit longer, went later in the draft, and he's already making an impact for his team. I like Devontae Graham. He also had like a 30-point game against the Pacers. That was the game that they won that the Hornets shouldn't have won. Because he got a BS foul call at the end of overtime. Got to shoot 3 free throws. I think he only made 2, but still. It was awful. I just watched that. Devontae Graham is playing very well. He's my pick for Rookie of the Year because they have a slightly better record than the Grizzlies. And I like him. I like him just as much as Ja Morant. But I'll give him the edge just because they're slightly better than the Grizzlies. If the Grizzlies continue to play at a 2-8, every 10 games, if they're winning 2 games and losing 8, if they continue that trend for the rest of the season, they're going to have a pretty awful record. They're going to be like 16-64, something terrible like that. So if that's their record, that's not good. I wouldn't vote for the best player on that team to be Rookie of the Year. Devontae Graham so far is my pick for Rookie of the Year. I like how he's played so far. Next question. Luka Doncic has been playing incredibly well. Is he already a top 10 player? My short answer is yes. Here's my long answer. Last year, as a rookie, 22 points, 8 boards, 6 assists, and a steal. 19 years old. This year, 1 year later, 28 points, 11 boards, 9 assists, and a steal. 48% from the field. 32% from 3. Not great. However, I did look through his actual game, his game log. He's had a couple of games where he has shot terribly from 3, and he's had a couple of games where he shot tremendously well from 3. So he doesn't consistently shoot at 32%. Some games he's shooting 50, 55%. Other games he's shooting 18%. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. But it just goes to show you that he's capable of shooting the ball well. He just needs to do it consistently. Or maybe take better shots. Maybe change his shot selection just a little bit so that he's taking good shots. It's a significant increase in his numbers in his sophomore season. In order for me to say, yes, he's definitely a top 10 player, I had to go through and make a list of who are the top 9 players in the league. And right now, today, here are the top 10 players through this season so far. In my opinion, it's in no particular order. This isn't ranked 1 through 10. It's just these are the 10 players that I can think of. Kawhi, Giannis, LeBron, Anthony Davis, Damian Lillard, James Harden, Kyrie Irving, Joel Embiid. That's 8. Those are the only 8 guys that I could say definitively they're having better seasons so far than Luka. And honestly, even then, I don't think Kyrie's having a better season than Luka. I think Luka's having a better season than him. I think Luka's having a better season than James Harden. You can argue that Luka is having a better season and more impact than Joel Embiid because Luka's played more games and his statistics are just better. I think Luka is a top 10 player in the league. Truly, I really do. You could argue that when Paul George comes back, Paul George might be a better player. You can argue that next year when Kevin Durant comes back, KD might be a better player. There's a couple of other players in the league that maybe you could argue that they're better. Don't say Russell Westbrook. Please don't say that. You could argue maybe Karl Anthony Towns is starting to get near that conversation. He's top 20, trying to inch in there. You could argue that I left Jimmy Butler off, and Jimmy Butler should maybe be in that conversation. Kemba Walker, there's all-stars out there. There's top players out there. But when I think of the guys that on a nightly basis are the best player on their team and make a significant impact, it's Kawhi, Giannis, LeBron, AD, Dame, James Harden, Kyrie Irving, Joel Embiid. It's those eight guys. Luka Doncic is on that list too. He's top 10 in my books. One other caveat, as we're just talking about Luka, Trae Young. We talked about Trae Young last year on the basketball podcast, and I laughed at the Atlanta Hawks for what a foolish decision they'd made, especially through the first half of the season, the first three quarters of the season. Trae Young was horrendously bad. After the All-Star break, he had really good numbers. He's continued that into this season. 26 points, 4 boards, 8 assists, 2 steals, 44% from the field, 36% from 3. Those are good numbers. Those are very good numbers for a sophomore. This is his second season in the league. We may look back on those two. Listen, it might seem like I'm flip-flopping a little bit. Trae Young looked awful his second half of college, in the college season, going into his rookie season. There was a year-long stretch where Trae Young looked like he did not know how to play basketball. And now he's looking like he knows how to play basketball. And he's playing it well. I enjoy watching both of those guys. We may look back on that trade, and it might be a closer decision once it's all said and done on who won that trade. Initially, the Mavs, clearly winners. But now, Trae's really playing well. Luka's playing even better still. But both of those guys are playing exceptionally well so far. I hope that they both continue to play exceptionally well, because they're both exciting to watch in their own way. They're both very good players. Just wanted to add that. Going back on what I had said previously last year, I was justified in saying it at the beginning of the year. He looked horrendous, but he has played very well since the All-Star break of last season, going into the first 10 games of this season, which he was injured for a few games this year, so he hasn't played all 9-10 games that the Hawks have played. But Trae Young is definitely looking like a competent, qualified NBA starting point guard, potential star on his team, or best player on his team. Here's the final question. This is probably the most important question. Name the top five NBA mental breakdowns. That's a great question. Name the top five breakdowns by an NBA player, whether it's in a game or outside of the game. Number five, Dion is on this list. This is what we talked about in this podcast. Dion ate drugs and lost his mind, and the team had to spin it as a panic attack. He hallucinated because he ate drugs on the plane. Crazy. Number five, Dion Waiters eating drugs. Number four, Royce Young. That's all I have to say. Royce Young, if you were born in the 90s and you were of the age anywhere from like 16 to 20, at the early 2010s, you know who Royce Young is. You know that that dude lost his mind before he started in the NBA. Wasn't able to fly? Couldn't fly? Why are you going into the NBA if you can't fly? Like, I appreciate you're a good basketball player, but also know your limits. If you can't fly, you probably can't play NBA basketball. You don't want to bust yourself around the United States. The U.S. is kind of big. Royce Young. Number three, this is a great one. This is a recent one. J.R. Smith in the 2017 finals when J.R. Smith caught that rebound and dribbled out to half court and then threw the ball. That's it. You've seen the meme. Number two, Javaris Crittenden when he tried to shoot someone in the locker room. And number one, we all know what number one is. Ron Artest beating up Pistons fans to this day, still hasn't been topped. Will it ever? Probably not. The dude hopped the scorer's table, ran 20 rows up, and pummeled people. People, not person, people. And, of course, let me rephrase this. It's not just Ron Artest. It's the whole Indiana Pacers squad that was fighting fans. Steven Jackson, Jermaine O'Neal, to this day, still one of my favorite and fondest memories of NBA basketball growing up as a child, is when Steven Jackson returned from the visitors' locker room at the Palace at Auburn Hills wielding a dustpan, no shirt, headband still intact, wielding a dustpan, ready to fight Pistons fans with a dustpan. Those are the top five mental breakdowns in the NBA. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Basketball Podcast. It's great to be back. Excited to be reporting on all of the important news in the NBA today. Maybe we'll have another podcast before the next 10 games roll out. Probably not. We'll see you at game 20. Play me out, Rocky. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Play me out, Rocky. We'll see you next time on the Basketball Podcast.